Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3 Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3 Pi Squared has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders, brought to you by 3 Pi Squared. I'm April, and this is Steven.
How's it going?
All right. Well, today, first of all, hope everyone is doing well. And this is airing in the new year at some point. And so hope you guys are all doing well in this season.
2025?
Yeah, 2025. All right. Well, we're going to talk about a topic today that I'm really kind of tired of talking about. I'm going to be transparent because I think it's going to come across, like, if I'm trying to fake it, mm-hmm. then it's going to come across, like, inauthentic. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we're going to talk about retention and especially within, like, BCBAs. And I'm so tired of talking about this. And the reason I'm tired of talking about it is because it's a real issue, right? Everyone's talking about it because it's a problem. It's an issue. And I have maybe some pretty strong feelings on some points of view of this because I feel like it's as simple as take care of your people, right? But even that, it's still hard to get a BCBA on staff before you can even get them on staff to take care of them, right?
Yes.
So, and then once you get them there, it's not fully within your control of if you can keep them, because it's a job that's needed all mm-hmm. over the country, right?
Yeah. I just was talking to someone where I referred a recruiter to them. And apparently the recruiter said to them, yeah, we don't work in this state. I can't find BCBAs in this state. And that's like, that's their job. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's difficult.
I mean, I think that could be valid. I think that could be validating to someone who has been searching and searching and searching, and they're like, what am I doing wrong? Or if only I had access to X tool or whatever, yeah. right? Then it would be easier. But if a recruiting professional is having trouble and won't even provide that service in a certain state, then I mean, validation, right? Yeah. So one way of doing this right is growing your own BCBAs. Mm-hmm. Now, I was just consulting with a couple of people the other day, and we were talking about, I mean, they said, they're like, we have a plan. We are working on a plan right now to start getting more, you know, students there near a nearby university who mm-hmm. has a BCBA program. That's so cool. They're in works with working, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how can we get students in here? To work together and to essentially grow our own BCBAs. Mm-hmm. But that takes time, and we need somebody right now. Yeah. It's great to recognize that. And if you do have those resources, especially if you're near a university, then that's a great start. But yeah, what do you do? What do you do when you need a BCBA?
I mean, Indeed, in my opinion, is still number one, right?
I know, but people are even saying that they can't find anybody from Indeed either.
Yeah, I'm not denying that Indeed is also challenging. We did a course on this. It's $10 on our website. Maximizing your Indeed results. I think that, check that out.
Yeah, it's worth a shot, right?
I think that rather than sponsoring a job, I would use the messaging feature. I think that that's still the better way to do it. We have one company that we were working with. They had two recruiters. You know where they got their next BCBA? Indeed. So I still think that Indeed is your best bet. And, you know, now they don't have to spend the, you know, 10% or $6,000, whatever the price of the recruiter is, on that first year salary. So I think that LinkedIn it can be effective, and I know a lot of people knock Indeed, but I'm still it's still by far the best place to get BCBAs, even and techs. And I you know, if you are going to use that chat feature, then I would go a little bit further than you think, right? Don't like say, okay, I'm going to look in a 20-mile radius of my clinic. I think you're going to have to widen your search to other states. And instead of paying a recruiter, you know, X amount of dollars, give them a moving sign-on bonus, right? Like something like that, so that they can leave the state that they're in and come to your state, and you know what I mean? So,
right.
So something like that. Flex hours is great to do that recruiting.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, okay, let's say you finally get a BCBA.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're during that process of interviewing them, and those initial communication, right? What, before they've accepted the job, but you guys are communicating. What are some techniques that you can use from the get-go, from the first moment of contact, to help, you know, show them that you're different?
Yeah, I mean, that's communication. Like, you know, we did this whole 5-part or 6-part, I hate my job thing. Listen to that. You know, you're tired of this. I'm tired of this. Like, treat people how you would like to be treated. Do you want to be like ghosted? Hey, I got this job, and I'm told I'm gonna have X amount of cases, and then a day before I'm gonna start, you find out that you have half as many or twice as many. You know what I mean? Like, or they're outside of the area that you agreed to work. Like just having some communication with your staff, being open, transparent, I think is really important. That in itself will probably set you apart from probably 70% of the ABA companies out there, that just walks to people. Even really good companies don't have a lot of cases don't have a good streamlined onboarding process. So just walking them through how this is going to work. You know, who's my point of contact if I need support, you know, and if, you know, you say, okay, we'll reach out to you within a business day or something like that. Actually follow through on that, right? If you can't, what I would highly recommend is say, hey, look, this is really important to me, but XYZ has come up. I will get back to you on this date. But at least use that, hey, I reached out. This person's important to me. I will tell you if this person gets the idea, because this is your best, like, this is the honeymoon period, right? This is where probably going to have the quickest responses, probably going to get the most information. It's going to be less judgy and, right? So if someone gets the idea that, hey, like, even during this period, I'm getting lack of communication, I'm not getting straightforward answers, that, you know, peace out, you know what I mean? And BCBAs and techs, they have all the power right now, right? Like they can find another job in a heartbeat. Now it may be a terrible job, but for a company that maybe isn't the greatest, but they have the opportunity. You need them more than they need you at this point. So take that into consideration when you're setting up your interviewing processes and how you're going to communicate, right? You may just need to assign a team member that this is your job, right? You are going to reach out to new hires and explain how important it is and, you know, all that good stuff. Hey, ABA business owners, struggling to navigate the complex world of ABA practice management?
You're not alone. We've been there. And that's why we created the ABA Business Leaders Membership. It's your how-to guide for everything you need to run a successful, ethical ABA practice.
From compliance to culture, from billing to hiring, we've got you covered with in-depth videos and insider advice you'll wish you had years ago.
Absolutely. But guess what? You don't have to figure it out alone. Our ABA Business Leaders Membership isn't just a guide, it's your growth accelerator, featuring 34 CEUs to keep you and your team on the cutting edge.
That's right. Plus, you get exclusive access to content you can't find anywhere else. Think webinars, live Q&As, real-life success stories from practices making it happen.
And the community aspect is unbeatable. Imagine being connected to a network of ABA business owners, sharing, learning, and evolving together.
No more second-guessing your business decisions or wondering if there's a better way. With the ABA Business Leaders Membership, clarity, confidence, and continuous learning are what you're signing on for.
So, if you're all in on elevating your ABA practice, join us. It's time your business not just survived, but thrived.
Head on over to 3piesquared.com and check out the ABA Business Leaders Membership. Let's take your practice to the next level together.
And not only does a potential new hire want to feel wanted and supported, mm-hmm. right? And either whether it's their first experience, their first like job within the field, or they're coming from another location. I'm trying not to make the assumption that they're coming from a bad company, and maybe they're coming from a good company and they just had a life event that moved them. Mm-hmm. So even in that, they're going to be looking for another good company, right? Yeah. And as we start having that conversation more about what to look for in a good company, right? That's hopefully increasing the standard, right? Yeah. But that feeling, that communication piece and feeling supported and desired as an employee is really important. But there are also tools that you can use to, you know, outside of just your word, right? Or email, right? Like how, you know, so if you have a very, even if you're a startup, right? If you have a very specific onboarding process and you're able to tell the person, here are the things that we're going to need from you. Here are the trainings we're going to request from you. Here are the expectations we have from you. Here's the time frame. Here's what pay looks like during this time. The more information that you're able to give them during that onboarding, or even before you get to the onboarding process, even before they've accepted the job, is going to be ideal. You're not giving away too much information. I think it's important for them to know. But then also, especially if it's someone newer in the field, I say that, but you know what? I think this is true to people who've been in the field for years too. We want to learn and grow, and we want to know that there is a place for that within our position at the company, right? We want to know where are we, you know, are we just stuck in this one position, or do we get to move up? Are there training opportunities outside of just, and we're going to pay for your CEUs, right? Like, how can I access CEUs, or, you know, so if you have something that you're already working on, like within your company, and you said, hey, we have this program that we're using, and this is how we do this, then that helps. It really is as simple as communicating. But here's the thing. I wonder, okay, right? Because we're always looking like, what's behind the behavior? What's the function? What's the barrier? Like, why is this thing keep happening, right? I wonder if business owners, people who are in the position of hiring, are having trouble communicating because they don't know what to communicate.
Sure.
Right? Maybe they don't know what all of their policies or procedures are yet, or maybe they don't have a good handle on what's the most important information that a BCBA would like to know. Maybe the BCBA is still learning how to ask those questions, and maybe they're still learning, right? Mm-hmm. It's all like a learning curve there. But yeah, maybe that's part of it, is like just not knowing what to communicate. Because we're always talking about communicate, just clear communication, explain what the expectations are. But maybe they aren't clear on that themselves.
Sure.
Like, what's a tool? A tool
to help them or information. Train and onboard their staff. Well, I got a tool. I wasn't even trying to set that up, but I did a pretty good job. Yeah. So, no, we have a training platform now. It's the ABA Business Leaders Training Platform. We are in the middle of adding our onboarding processes. So you can bring on a staff and bring them through the onboarding process, through their trainings, have expectations on the amount of time each thing should take, have a way to reach out to whoever that point of contact is so that they can get the answers to their questions. And then it will also, because yes, that's really important, but the onboarding process is more for techs, in my opinion, than it is for BCBAs. Even newer BCBAs kind of know what's expected of them, right, to a certain degree. So where I think techs, especially new techs, really don't know. And if they've never worked in a home, that's just a different experience. Where I think maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like most BCBAs have some expectation of what they're getting into, right? They've spent 1,500 hours, right? Yes. Like, and so I think that there's some understanding of what is going on. They may not have the level of experience that you need them to, right? And again, this is where the training platform comes in, and you can set up levels of BCBAs and give them pay raises based on skill acquisition and required skill, meaning expectations on required skills. You're going to have bonuses in there as well. And so I think that this is what I think is the answer, right? There's a training store so that they can get access to high quality training that is affordable. So I think that this is how you can show in your company that there is a meaningful path forward and growth is available within your company. I think that this will set you apart because I don't think that many ABA companies have something like this. So yeah. I would highly recommend reaching out to us or checking out. We'll have the links in the podcast, but like the tools that we built for April and Steven in 2010. Right.
Yeah.
When we were starting out winging, I think we can do this. And we made so many mistakes, right? Just like any mistake that you could think of, we made it. So, so our goal has been, you know, over the last 7 years is to create systems, processes, procedures, consulting, so that you all, as you're starting this practice, can avoid the majority of those very difficult things to learn the hard way. Saving you money and time. Really, time is the biggest thing, right? It's just some of these mistakes they cost a lot of time. And losing techs and BCBAs, like, yeah, it sucks to have to do the hiring process again and go through the training process. That's really not where you lose the most money. Where you lose the most money is it took me 4 months to get that BCBA. Then I had to credential them for the next 4 months. So it took me 8 months to get somebody actually taking these clients on. That's where you lose the money, right? Mm-hmm. Is that amount of time. And same with a tech, right? Okay, you lost a tech and it takes you 4 weeks to get a tech. Now we have to train them, onboard them, and now we've lost a month and a half of services, right? Not only is that affecting your bottom line, but that's going to damage your reputation, right? Like, how many times have we heard this from parents, right? When they would come on with our company and it was like, I haven't had the same RBT. Like, I've had 5 different RBTs over the last 3 months in my previous ABA company, right? Like, this is just something that happens quite often. What is that going to do to the quality of services that you provide? It can't be good, right? That can't be helpful. So, you know, those are the issues, right? We have a calculator, an RBT turnover calculator on our website. I guess we can also share the link to that. But it just goes through, and I think on average it's about $6,000 or $8,000 that the company loses from one RBT. Forget about a BCBA, right? Like, but just RBT. So this is costly, and it's because of the environment that we're in, and just because of the time it takes to find someone to take over those cases.
Yep. I agree. Well, so that's not the only way to hire a BCBA.
Right.
You can also grow your own, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a slower way. It can be very slow, especially if you have just techs that have 4-year degrees, right? Now they have to get a master's, and they have to do their 1,500 hours, right? So, this is probably going to be your best bet, right? Is to start creating that environment for techs to become BCBAs within your company. So this sets up that supportive environment. If your tech is staying with you that long, it must be more than likely, I should say. It's probably a good workplace, and they feel supported. So that really is going to be now. I will tell you.
Well, I mean, I'll be the negative Nelly on this one.
Sure, go for
it. But unless they're just getting through the process to get their BCBA, so then they can leave.
Yeah, I mean that is the potential that you're training a BCBA for the company down the street that's going to offer them a higher salary. I mean, it is possible. Like, this is it. Right? Like, so you gotta do your best, and, you know, so we need to create, like I said, I'm going to trust what the people in those videos were saying, what they said in their posts, when they were anonymous posts. I believe that this is, they feel unsupported. They feel like there is no way, no path for growth, and there is lack of training, right? So that's the low-hanging fruit, right? How do we create a more supportive, with more training and more communication, right? So I think that's what we built, right? Is that place where they can literally see how they can grow within the company. They have access to lots of training, teaching, to learn new skills, right? And expand on their knowledge, which I think most people want to learn when they're in this field, right? If you last 6 months in this field is for you, right? Like, it's, I think that there are a lot of people that can't do this job, me being one of those people. And I think after about 6 months to a year, if you're still an RBT, thank you for your service. And I think that those are probably the people that you want to focus your energy on, right? And so we need to reduce burnout. We need to increase training. We need to increase support. And we need to do it in a cost-effective way. So that we can provide this on a sustainable and scalable, in a sustainable and scalable way.
Mm-hmm.
So that is building your own. So I think you mentioned that earlier, but, you know, reaching out to a university, it doesn't have to be like a brick and mortar place. Mm-hmm. You could try reaching out to online ABA programs and just starting collaborating with, you know, some, universities, and, you know, making maybe like an internship or something like that, paid internship, and giving people the opportunity to start seeing what ABA is like and how your approach to ABA is better than everybody else's. That would be, you know, the first step in this, I believe. And then, it's because we like, ideally we would want to bring these people on with a master's, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be the quickest way we can bring is people that have just come out of the program. And now they're just working on maybe their direct and indirect hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had multiple techs who went through the program while they were working with us, and they were all very grateful, and I feel like we were able to give them quality supervision, and we didn't put a limit on how much support that they could get, and that's something that some people had come to us from other companies and they had limited access to support and supervision throughout the process. And maybe they were being expected to do things outside of their scope still. And so we really tried to keep that reined in with making sure that we were supporting them in the right way. Not micromanaging too much. And I believe that also takes a certain level of BCBA supervisor to be able to offer that.
Yeah.
And so if you're starting out in a brand new company and you're the BCBA and you already have techs underneath you and cases that you're supervising and you're doing the business end, you have to also evaluate, do you have the ability to take on that extra
That's a lot of work.
Hat that you have to wear.
Yeah.
Or it could be that you take on a couple of cases, maybe a couple of techs, and the other piece of your business model is supervising, you know, up and coming BCBAs to, you know, support them and kind of grow your company a little slower alongside of growing a BCBA to work alongside of you. So, but all the things, just it goes back to what we say, you know, communicating and having clear expectations, putting things in writing, having follow through, giving feedback. I think a lot of times when we're supervising or we're an employer to a person in a position who it's hard to come by, it's possible. I'm speaking general here, but it's just human nature, I think, too. Thinking, oh, it's okay. That little thing's okay. I just want to keep this person happy to keep them here, which is a slippery slope that cannot end well, because then the integrity is no longer there, right? And so I think everyone, even when it's difficult, receiving that feedback is really important. And it's also in how you give the feedback as well, of course. But I think following up, whether they're a first-time BCBA or RBT, or, you know, this is their first chance in the field, it really doesn't matter if they've been in there forever. But especially if they're new to you from the very beginning as an employer, you owe it to your staff to have that clear communication, which also means giving feedback and giving those responses to, okay, this isn't how, you know, this is what I don't want, this is what I do want, how can we work together to support you to get there?
There's some things to note. I do like the idea of growing your own, simply because you've taught them the entire way, right? So they know how to be a tech in your company, and they know what is expected of techs in their company. You can use those indirect hours to teach them how to do high quality session notes, right? Things that maybe they wouldn't get from another company. So I like that idea. The other thing is, if you are hiring a lot of master level techs, this is a good way to help with rate negotiation. So that's something mm-hmm. else that I do. Like, if this is something that you plan on doing, then we need to sell that, right? But this isn't just for rate negotiation, because we're also going to sell this to our families. You're not just getting a regular GED, and no offense to GED techs, but I'm just saying that this is a selling point where you can say, look, we hire master level techs, right? And so the what you can say about that is, you know, they do come with more experience, and, you know, they're here for the long term, right? So, and that is a selling point. It just is. So that those are things that are good reasons to do this. The other thing that I would highly recommend, just at least being aware of it, but you may want to have a plan, is they may not pass the test the first time, right? And so this is just, like, I don't know if it's true or not, but, like, on Facebook, sometimes you'll see, it took me, like, you know, 6 times to pass the test. So this is just something.
There are statistics out there. It is a harder pass rate.
Yeah. So like, this is just something to be aware of. And this may also determine what schools you want to work with, right? This is something that you can look up and see what their first pass rate is. And maybe we're working with different schools because they have a better first pass rate, right?
Maybe it can be something that you supplement and provide, and you help them with test prep.
Totally.
As part of the perk of the job, right?
Yeah. So I think that that's just something to take into consideration. So we're not banking, tomorrow they're going to have a pass test and we're going to find out next days, and then we can start billing and shit, right? So
just, that's a lot of extra pressure. Yeah,
that's a lot of pressure. So on something that everybody knows is a hard test. And so that's just something to keep in mind and have, you know, maybe you have like a conversation with this person to maybe take some of that pressure off, because I can guarantee there's already pressure. So it's just something to have a conversation about and have a plan in place so that they don't feel like failing this test now means, you know, 10 clients don't get services because of me, right? Like, that's not something that anyone wants to feel. And it's not really true. So, yeah. Mm.
All right, now we're moving on to a part of our podcast where we talk about a quick fix. Mm. We look at pain points that our business owners are experiencing and actionable things that they could do right now. So
we need one of the common action.
I know, we need like so a common question that we do get is if a payer or a state doesn't require the staff to be an RBT, should they get an RBT prior to starting services? Like, should you have your staff be RBT certified regardless of your payer's
Yeah, I get you. I think everybody requirements, right? But if your funder does not require an RBT, should I get an RBT? Should I
still provide the RBT certification training and all that stuff?
Yes.
My answer is yes.
Yes.
Because I think that it just offers.
Yes. Yeah, I think that having that basic foundation, and it is a basic foundation, 40 hours of training, I think is good to have. So they can understand what is required of them. A lot of the way I believe, maybe I'm completely wrong about this, so if I am, just yell at me in the comments, but I believe that the way some of these ethics for supervisors are written, it kind of requires that BT to follow those ethical guidelines, even if they're not an RBT. So
yeah, I think a lot of times people maybe that's how I can slip through and do things a little differently or a little easier.
Correct.
Or maybe this is how I don't have to pay for like the 40 hour training. I want you to, if that is your thought process, no judgment, but I do want you to take a step back and ask yourself why.
Yes.
Right? Get curious about what that, like, why are you feeling that way? Because, and then if not, well, how else are you training your staff to be able to do the job that you need?
Yeah, I mean, I've also gotten the pushback, well, I don't hire RBTs, so I don't have to follow that 25-year-old memo that came out from the board saying that they can't be contractors, right? I only hire BTs. No.
Well, and that you would check the IRS on that one. Yeah, we won't go into that, but just check the IRS.
Still require supervision. If you are billing insurance and you're using the protocol modification code, you are supervising those techs and they are not contractors. Anyways, I just wanted to throw that in because I enjoy talking about contractor versus
employee. RBT, I think that you should have your staff being RBT rather than BT. And if you don't from the beginning, at least have a plan to get them there within very soon in their employment experience with you.
Yes.
Because I would just highly suggest them getting all the same training anyway.
So our training platform also includes an RBT training, the 40-hour RBT training. So not only are you going to bring these people on and they're going to have a clear, transparent way to get raises and growth in the company, but you can also add the RBT training to their account so that they can go through it. And you, as the admin, will be able to look and see how they're progressing in the content. So, it's a great, training, happy medium approach. People, I've only seen positive feedback about it, so we're really excited that we can offer that training in our system.
All right. Well, on that note, we thank everybody for joining us today, and we look forward to next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.